Chapter 16. Menuasaris, Senuamaris, Chemazil. Mopus.
Shyish. The realm of ageless, boundless grandeur. What became of you? There was a time when every one of the underworlds contained wonders beyond the imagination of the living. Now they are a collection of broken shells. The ironclad boot of chaos has crushed the wonder from my home. I have been hidden away for so long in the fane that it shocks me to see how far Khorne's reach has extended. The horizon is a spine of bristling towers.
Your studies have served you well, say the princes,
looking back at me from their skeleton steeds at the head of the chariot. I nod. There are few left who still have knowledge of the back ways through these lifeless groves. Just a few hundred feet from the flanks of my army, Khorne's armor-clad monsters are scouring the landscape for something, anything to destroy.
They are blind to your passing.
I feel a swell of pride as I hear the respect in the spirits' voices. An open mind is hard to suppress. I grimace at the lumbering brutes that are trying to crush all the wonder from my world. And a closed mind is easily confused. I glance at my pale legions of spearmen. We'll show our face once we reach Giraldus, but not a moment before. And as long as he sees sense, we'll be gone before they know we were there. Giraldus always had a penchant for grand displays of power, but now, as we approach his fortress, I see how he has been diminished. His fortress was once a mountain of iron-hard bone, warped into solid squatting towers and thick, hunched buttresses. But the sight that greets me now is far less impressive. The walls have been shattered by countless assaults, and the colossal gargoyles are slumped and broken. His vampiric sentries still man the walls, wearing their distinctive winged helmets, but they're a tiny fraction of the army that once marched beneath Giraldus's banner. Still, I can't help but feel a little respect. Almost every inch of this land has been flattened by Khorne's armies, but Giraldus stands defiant. How has he survived? I ask, turning to the princes.
Sorcery and courage.
At the first sign of Khorne's armies, he severed his link with the land. His fortress is here today, but tomorrow it will be gone. He stays long enough to strike a quick blow, then leaves. His luck can't hold out much longer, though. The spirits hesitate.
They say he is very proud. What if he refuses to help?
I scowl. He may only be here for today, but that would be long enough for me to teach him a little humility. I wave my staff at my army. That ruin could not withstand this for an hour. Still, I have no desire to waste my energy fighting Giraldus. I will find a better way to convince him. I give an order, and the Morghast lifts into the sky, filling the night with a cry torn from beneath the rain-drenched sod. As my army pours from the shadowy hills, the full size of it is revealed. I wonder what Giraldus must be thinking as this dread host surrounds his crumbling walls. I nod to the princes, and they pull my coven throne down towards the palace's towering gates. They open before we reach them, revealing a ridiculous fanfare of gaudy fluttering banners and a column of ornately armoured knights. They're all long dead, of course, even Giraldus himself, but they're dressed as lordly mortal knights. Their black armour is polished to a dazzling sheen, and their rictus grins are hidden behind tall winged helmets. Only Giraldus, riding proudly at the front, has his face on display. A life of murder and unholy pacts has kept his skin intact, but even the thick rouge on his cheeks can't mask his antiquity.
He's one of the few lords who has not fallen to chaos,
whisper the princes. I'm unimpressed. Look at that makeup and finery, Even after so many centuries of life, he's not learned to discard the baser pleasures. He could have used all that time devoting himself to study.
Try to suppress your distaste. This will be so much quicker if you don't have to kill him. Try to, at least.
I wave the princes to silence as Giraldus approaches.
"Men, you are sorrows," he says,
performing an elaborate bow on the back of his horse. As he moves, his armour clatters with icons and medals, filling the night with jaunty music.
"It's rare to see you abroad."
His voice is as inhuman as the cry of the Morghast. He makes no mention of the huge army circling his home, but I can hear the outrage in his voice. I nod in reply. "You're looking well, Giraldus." He recognizes the mockery in my voice, and lights flicker deep in his hollow eye sockets.
"What brings you to my door?"
I steer the coven throne closer and signal for my skeletal honor guard to remain behind. Giraldus follows my lead, and we meet, alone, in the center of the road. The spirits that haunt my army have filled the night sky with vaporous robes, and as we dismount and approach each other, we're bathed in green light. "I seek your advice," I say. His expression remains wary as he studies me.
"From what I hear, there can't be many questions that you can't answer by looking in your own library. What has dragged you from the fane?"
He narrows his eyes.
"Perhaps I'm not the only one who's been hearing strange rumours."
"Yes, I've heard rumours, Giraldus. Rumours of golden knights purporting to carry the might of Sigmar in their hammers." I feel my irritation growing as I say it out loud. "An army come to rid us of chaos."
"It's more than that," he replies. "They say these knights are fragments of Sigmar himself, avatars of his will."
There's a flicker of excitement in his eyes, and I can't hide my disbelief. I wave at the ruined landscape. "Giraldus, you've been trying to throw off this yoke for centuries, and look where it's got you. Do you really think a few gold hammers will turn back the legions of the Dark Gods? And if they did, what love do you think they would have for us? True wisdom means nothing to religious zealots. They'd probably see us as tomb robbers and necromancers." Giraldus grips the gilded handle of his sword.
"What did you want to ask me?"
I curse my lack of control as I realize he's almost as much of a zealot as Boreas. "What do you know about the Nomad City?" I ask. He laughs, surprised by my change of tack.
"The Nomad City? What makes you ask me that?"
Before I can reply, he draws back his shoulders.
"No matter. I'm not ashamed of my past. Yes, necromancer, I was born on the Carval Steppe. Your books have not misled you. I lived in the shadow of the Nomad City, but that was long ages ago. Have you really braved this journey to ask me about the adventures of my youth?"
"Sigmar's knights are heading for the Nomad City. That's where they mean to strike. There's a shrine of some kind, a brass skull called the Crucible of Blood. Of all the places they could attack, why choose that particular site?" At the mention of the Crucible, he looks so pained that I think he might turn and leave. Then he shakes his head.
"Forgive me. I have no love for the blood god Menuasars. If you found a way to hurt him, I would be glad to help. What do you want to know?"
"I want to know what the Crucible is."
It's a monument to a tragedy, Menuosaurus. You have unearthed a great pain in uttering that name in front of me.
He closes his eyes for a moment, then continues.
When Korn's legions began spreading across the steppe, the lords of the nomad city demanded that we stand together against them. They said that it was crucial that their city didn't fall.
I noticed a hint of emotion in his voice. Shame, perhaps? But you didn't aid them? He glares at me.
I'm no coward. But I've been studying the obscure arts for a long time by then. I was consumed by my desire to uncover the secrets of Shaiish. I was so obsessed by my studies that I barely registered what was happening to my kingdom.
He waves at the bone-clad peaks that surround us.
I knew there was a finer, less transient world than my own, and I could think of nothing but reaching it. Some of my subjects tried to save the nomad city, but I paid them no heed. I had my eyes on something greater.
I nod. To survive and continue learning is an honourable goal.
So I thought.
He sounds either angry or ashamed. What is the Crucible of Blood? Why would Sigmar care about it? Why would he send his army there rather than to one of the great Chaos strongholds or some other shrine?
Because it's more than just a shrine. I know, because I witnessed its creation. I was almost ready to leave when Korn grew tired of the nomad city's insolence. He sent a powerful general.
His voice becomes unsteady.
A being from Korn's own realm. It was like an army trapped in a single body. It dwarfed even the giants who guarded the nomad city. But it couldn't defeat them. Even from the very edge of the steppe, I could see the battle. It raged across the heavens. 3 times the demon attempted to level the city, smashing the walls with an axe as big as the watchtowers. And 3 times it failed. The Titans wouldn't yield. I realized then that I should have gone to help them, but it was too late.
He shakes his head, and I get the sense he's forgotten me. The emotion in his voice is now unmistakable, a potent mixture of rage and regret.
The demon was called Kurnak. Its rage was so great that the ground bled in pain. The ground. The giants of the nomad city had bound their city with powerful wards, though, and their walls refused to fall.
He's speaking quietly now, and I have to step closer to hear.
After the 3rd attack failed, Korn arrived to take matters into his own hands.
You saw a god? Geraldus stares into the darkness.
After a fashion, yes. My rites were finished, and I was already leaving. But I caught a glimpse. God spare me, I caught a glimpse.
I find myself caught up in his story. I can almost imagine I'm there with him, witnessing the fury of Korn himself.
My body was free,
he continues.
Only a shadow of my being was there when the nomad city fell. Otherwise, I doubt my sanity could have endured. Even now, I don't know exactly what I saw. A crimson thunderhead, perhaps, filling the horizon. My memory has spared me the details. I didn't look directly, of course, and I was miles away. But Korn was in my mind, of that I'm sure. As I slipped away, I saw a figure. It drew a brass skull from the storm, a skull as large as a mountain, and hammered it down into the nomad city, destroying it utterly.
He looks me in the eye, returning to the present.
The skull has since been named the Crucible of Blood, and it stands there to this day, surrounded by the ruins of the nomad city. The giants had poured so much magic into those walls that they'll never crumble. They're still there, hanging in the clouds, a reminder of Khorne's wrath. For a long time, I used to hunt down every record of those places I could find. The thought of that skull's existence, even in the form of books or art, troubled me.
You destroyed all that knowledge without studying any of it?
I studied it, even when I would rather not. I can tell you what I know. I found out why the Titans were so desperate to defend their home. The Nomad City was a doorway between worlds, a realm gate. The giants had been tasked with guarding it, and they knew what would happen if Khorne seized control. Their worst fears came to pass. The Brass Skull claimed the realm gate for Khorne's legions.
I nod as all the pieces fall into place. And Sigmar's knights mean to take the realm gate back. He shrugs.
Perhaps. If they took control of the realm gate, they could travel from world to world. They could attack wherever they wish.
Finally, I grasp the nameless fear that has been looming at the edge of my thoughts. And they could attack whomever they wish. Giraldus frowns. I continue. Well, don't you see? Sigmar is the warrior god. He won't stop at defeating Khorne. He won't stop until every realm is back under his golden boot. He has no love for necromancy. I laugh. Imagine what kind of fate he will have in store for kings who abandon their subjects and refuse to aid those who try to fight. Giraldus gives me a look of cold disdain.
I fear no mortal foe.
Sigmar is no mortal foe. But if fear is not a reason to act, then think what it would mean if we could seize the realm gate for our own. Giraldus looks past my coven throne to the army gathered behind me. His white lips roll back from long, curved incisors. It's a chilling sight to see him smile. He grips his sword again.
I would give a lot to have the upper hand, Menu Osiris, for one last time. I grew tired of this slow, pitiful defeat.
Think what we could do together, I say, waving at the army behind me and the figures watching from the walls of his fortress. He keeps smiling and rests a death-cold hand on my shoulder.
You're more of a man than I realize, necromancer.
There's something odd about his smile. I get the impression that he's holding something back from me, that he has different plans to my own. I decide that I don't care, as long as he adds his army to mine. I point at my army. We have real power here, Giraldus. We could seize the realm gate for our own and use it to uncover the secrets of countless realms. And we would garner such power that we could keep all of those bickering gods from our doors. We could finally be rid of them, as long as we get there before Sigmar's knights. He nods slowly.
But Sigmar is a step ahead of us. You said he has already sent his armies to the skull.
But they were delayed. Somebody sent them astray. They are only now nearing their goal. There's still time. Giraldus nods.
When dawn comes, the demon returns. Khorne bound it to the skull as a punishment. Kurnak's rage is unimaginable, and it grows every year. From sunrise until nightfall, it rages and thrashes at its chain, and as it tries to break free, other demons pour from its bath of blood, born of its rage. They're thrown everywhere. Other kingdoms, other worlds, other wars. But many of them simply flood out onto the steppe. The region becomes a mirror of Khorne's own realm. Nothing survives the slaughter that follows.